The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's program is supported by Coastal Credit Union Foundation. For more information on the Coastal Credit Union Foundation, you can find it at coastal24.com/foundation. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you articles of interest from Kiplinger Personal Finance and also AARP Bulletin. Our first article appeared in the Kiplinger Personal Finance publication. This article is by David Roddick, A Guide to Smart Borrowing. If you need cash, choose the type of loan that best fits your situation. As Americans face rising costs on just about everything, the amount of debt they're taking on is going up too. Credit card balances recently reached a record $1.28 trillion. And according to credit reporting company Experian, 38% of U.S. consumers now have a personal loan, with the number of these loans on credit reports reaching 67.5 million. Both of those figures represent the highest levels since Experian started collecting data in 2017. For some, the strain of staying afloat is becoming more evident. The Financial Stress Index from the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, which reflects the financial ability of consumers to pay unsecured debts, recently hit its highest level since the NFCC began tracking it in 2018. I'm not surprised. I see a lot of people dealing with short-term financial pressure, and it's been going on for a while, says Lee Hadley, a wealth advisor in Cleveland. A large unexpected bill can leave households with no choice but to take on debt if they don't have a cash buffer to absorb the extra expense. Or they may tap their retirement savings. Last year, about 6% of eligible participants in Vanguard 401k plans took a hardship withdrawal, an all-time high. And while the unemployment rate was recently a relatively low 4.3%, the average time it takes job seekers to find work is the longest it has been since 2019. During an extended bout of unemployment, families may rely on credit or retirement savings to make ends meet. But economic challenges are only part of the picture. Even financially comfortable households are borrowing more frequently rather than paying cash, says Derek Farr, head of everyday borrowing at U.S. Bank. Some are taking on loans strategically to fund, for example, a badly needed home improvement or renovation, while others are incurring debt to keep up with lifestyle inflation, say, upgrading to high-end cars or taking luxury vacations. Another factor is how much easier it has become to borrow and to borrow larger amounts with the click of a button. Financial technology companies such as SoFi, Prosper, and Lending Club, for example, let consumers take out personal loans online in as little as 24 hours without ever speaking to a representative. Buy now, pay later, also known as BNPL plans, from fintechs such as Affirm, Afterpay, and Klarna have surged in popularity in recent years, allowing shoppers to delay payment on purchases, big and small, by signing up for a plan at online checkout. And major retailers, airlines, and hotels tout their credit cards to customers, promising ample rewards on their spending, but with the potential to rack up high-rate debt, too. While borrowing may be quicker and more convenient, the challenge of paying it back remains. Even a decent income isn't surefire protection against debt trouble. People seeking credit counseling now have an average household income of about $70,000, up from $40,000 before the COVID-19 pandemic, according to data from the NFCC. Ideally, you'll have an emergency fund with at least 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses stored in a safe, easily accessible place, such as a bank savings account. But if you exhaust those funds or haven't built them yet, you may have to look to other sources of cash in a pinch. Or if you need extra money to finance a big project, such as a kitchen remodel, you may be looking to narrow down the best borrowing strategy. If you decide to borrow, the key is understanding how the loan fits into your finances and how you'll repay it. This guide breaks down the main borrowing options and how to use them effectively. First up, ask these questions. Before taking on a loan, step back and ask a few key questions. The answers can help you decide whether borrowing makes sense and, if so, determine how you'll repay the debt. What am I borrowing for? Anytime you consider taking on debt, ask what you're getting in return and how long that benefit will last. For example, borrowing to renovate your home or launch a business can improve your finances over time, boosting your home's value or increasing your income and net worth. Debt that covers short-term spending, such as shopping for designer clothes or going on a vacation, is less valuable and doesn't build wealth. Farrer frames the former as production debt and the latter as unproductive debt, adding that unproductive debt should be minimized. Can I reduce how much I need to borrow? If you decide to get a loan, try to maximize how much of the expense you can cover yourself, limiting the amount you borrow. Even a small reduction in the loan balance can lower your monthly payments and make the loan easier to repay. Start by reviewing your budget and identifying areas to cut back on discretionary spending, such as dining out or subscriptions. People don't realize how much they're spending until they actually sit down and look at their budget, says Michael McAuliffe, president of Family Credit Management, a nonprofit debt relief organization in Rockford, Illinois. You can also look for ways to bring in additional income through part-time or gig work. This is especially important if you're borrowing to cover ongoing expenses. In this situation, more loans are not the answer. People need to change their long-term habits, says McAuliffe. Can I realistically afford to pay off the debt? Well, make sure you comfortably handle the monthly payments on any future loans. This is especially important with secured debt, which is backed by an asset. Missing payments can put your home or retirement savings at risk. And keep in mind that being able to make the minimum payment doesn't necessarily mean the debt is affordable in the long run. For this reason, it's important to look beyond the minimums and have a clear path and plan for paying down the balance. A debt repayment calculator can help you estimate how long it will take based on your target monthly payments. And you can find one of those calculators suggested at Bankrate at bankrate.com. Am I set up to get the best terms? Once you've decided to borrow, the next step is to make sure you do so on the best possible terms. A little preparation can lift your chances of approval and help you qualify for lower interest rates. Start by checking your credit reports and making sure your accounts are in good standing. You can get your report from each of the big three credit reporting companies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, weekly for free at annualcreditreport.com. Are there any mistakes dragging down your credit score, such as a credit card issuer reporting a missed payment that you made on time. You'll also want to gather basic documentation, such as a recent pay stub, bank statements, and tax returns, especially if you're applying with a new lender. The more you borrow, the more you'll need to verify, says Farr. Working with a bank or credit union where you've already developed a relationship can improve your chances of qualifying. However, check with a few other lenders to see whether any of them offer you a better rate. Some lenders also provide pre-qualification tools that let you estimate potential rates without undergoing a credit check. And weigh your options. When it comes to loan types, the right choice for you depends on how much you need, how quickly you can repay the debt, and what assets you have available to borrow against. Below are some options to consider. Zero interest credit card offers. For short-term borrowing, a credit card with a 0% introductory interest rate on purchases can be one of the most cost-effective options. These offers typically allow you to carry a balance for 12 to 21 months without owing any interest. If you pay off the balance in full before that window closes, it's essentially a free source of borrowing. A few of the top options include Chase Slate, U.S. Bank Shield Visa, and Wells Fargo Reflect, which all offer new customers a 0% rate for 21 months. The trade-off, if you're still carrying a balance after the promotional period ends, interest starts up, usually at a high rate, flipping an initially attractive offer into one of the most expensive sources of borrowing. The average credit card rate is about 24%, according to LendingTree. No interest credit card offers make sense for smaller purchases that you can pay off relatively quickly, such as a car repair or furniture. I don't have a problem with 0% offers as long as you treat them as a short-term bridge, says Hadley. You need a plan to get rid of the debt before the deal expires. And home equity lending. If you own your home, you may be able to borrow against its value through a home equity loan or a home equity line of credit called a HELOC. To qualify, you typically need to have equity. In other words, the difference between the value of your home and the outstanding balance on your mortgage of at least 15 to 20%. You'll also need to provide proof of income and have a decent credit score, usually of at least 680. Home equity loans, which provide you with a lump sum of cash up front, come with a fixed interest rate and set schedule of monthly payments that do not change. Average home equity loan rates were recently about 8%, according to Bankrate. Though your rate will depend on how much you borrow, the length of the loan term, and your credit worthiness. A home equity loan can make sense for a large one-time purchase or expense, such as a home renovation project. A HELOC is a revolving credit line that offers more flexibility, allowing you to borrow at your convenience, repay and borrow again over time. Even if you don't see a need right away, having a HELOC in place can give you access to cash in an emergency, says Kenyon Sutton, a financial coach in Jacksonville, Florida. If you set up a HELOC and then lose your job, for example, you can still borrow against it. HELOCs recently had an average rate of around 7%, according to Bankrate. But the rate is usually variable, meaning your monthly payment can go up and down based on market conditions. Because your home secures these loans, they typically come with lower interest rates and open the door to larger borrowing amounts than unsecured loans. While unsecured personal loans tend to max out at $50,000, home equity lending could allow you to borrow in the six figures or higher, assuming you have the equity to back it up. The trade-off is the level of risk. If you miss payments, you could eventually lose your home. These loans also charge upfront origination fees of around 0.5% to 1% of the borrowed amount. And you can't turn to home equity loans if you're in a hurry. They take time to launch because the lender has to evaluate your home's value. And now moving to personal loans. With a personal loan, you get a lump sum of cash and pay back the loan on a set schedule, usually between 1 and 5 years. You can see the scheduled repayments and total cost of the debt when you apply. On average, interest rates are about 12% for those with decent credit are lower than standard credit card rates. But unlike some credit card, personal loans don't come with an initial 0% period, so you owe interest immediately. With that in mind, personal loans often make sense for borrowing that will take a few years to pay off, such as home improvements or new appliances. Borrowers also commonly use personal loans to pay off their high-rate credit cards, refinancing the debt at a lower interest rate. You need to show proof of income to qualify for a personal loan, so don't count on getting one to cover expenses if you lose your job. Personal loans are widely available through both online lenders and traditional banks or credit unions. Online lenders tend to offer a faster application process and approval, with funds often available within a day or two. Banks and credit unions take longer to process loan applications, but they can offer lower interest rates, and you may have a better shot at qualifying by getting in-person assistance from a representative, especially at financial institutions where you have a long-term relationship. Online is faster, but there's no one to be an advocate for you. There's less flexibility on the borderline, says Sutton. Buy now, pay later plans. BNPL plans split purchases into smaller payments, typically charging no interest during this time. The standard BNPL plan lasts 6 weeks, though they can be stretched out to 24 months or longer for larger purchases. Used responsibly, BNPL can be a tool to spread out the cost of occasional big-ticket purchase, say, to buy a new dishwasher after your old one breaks down. But buy now, pay later convenience, too, often leads borrowers to overuse it, spending more than they can afford on food delivery, clothes, or other discretionary purchases. The problem isn't the first BNPL purchase. It's that they keep adding up, says Farah from U.S. Bank. You also need to pay attention to the fine print. In some cases, no-interest offers come with a catch. For example, if the balance isn't paid off in time, borrowers may owe substantial penalties or retroactive interest. And 401k loans. If you have a workplace retirement plan, there's a good chance it allows you to borrow from your balance. Roughly 79% of 401k plans offer loans, according to research from John Hancock. If your plan is among them, your employer determines how much employees can borrow through the program rules up to the IRS limit of 50% of your vested account balance. That's the amount you could keep after leaving the job, or $50,000, whichever is lower. You must repay the loan within 5 years. Unlike many other types of borrowing, getting a loan through your 401k doesn't require a credit check. The interest rate depends on the plan, but typically it's the prime rate plus 1 or 2 percentage points. Recently, that equaled around 7.75% to 8.75%. While those features might make a 401k loan sound like an appealing route to take if you need cash, there is a substantial downside. The money you borrow is also out of the stock market until it's repaid. People focus on the interest rate, but there's much more to the story, says Hadley, the Cleveland wealth advisor. You're missing out on any potential growth during that time. Considering the S&P 500's average return over the past 30 years, it's about 10% per year. That's an additional opportunity cost of borrowing on top of the interest rate. There's also an added risk if your job situation changes. If you leave your employer, the loan typically needs to be repaid within a short time frame, usually about 90 days, depending on the plan. If it isn't, the remaining outstanding balance is treated as a withdrawal, triggering income taxes on the unpaid amount plus a 10% early withdrawal penalty if you are younger than 59 and a half. Because of these risks, 401k loans are typically best used only if more favorable options aren't available to you, say because you can't qualify for other loans. Our next article appearing in Kiplinger Personal Finance is a question and answer article by Joy Taylor. Tax breaks for caregivers. The editor of the Kiplinger Tax Letter responds to readers asking about deductions and credits related to caring for an elderly parent. The question, I care for my elderly mother. Can I claim her as a dependent on my tax return? You have to meet two rules. You must provide over half of her support, and your mom's gross income from taxable sources can't exceed $5,300 for 2026. If she receives Social Security benefits, only the taxable portion of the benefits is included for this purpose. Your mom does not need to live with you for you to be able to claim her as a dependent. If you meet the test, you can claim the $500 credit for other dependents on your 2026 Form 1040. The credit begins to phase out when your adjusted gross income exceeds $200,000 or $400,000 for those filing married jointly. The question, I work and take care of my elderly father. I pay for his care when I'm at work. Can I take the dependent care tax credit for him? The rules to claim the child and dependent care tax credit for an elderly parent are a bit more stringent than the rules for claiming the parent of a dependent. The $5,300 income test doesn't apply, but the parent needs to have lived with you for at least 6 months during the year and be unable to care for themselves. You must also meet some other rules. For example, expenses for the care must be incurred so you can work, and you must report the provider's tax identification number on the IRS Form 2441. If your dad qualifies as a dependent for this purpose, you can claim a maximum dependent care credit of $1,500 for him on your 2026 Form 1040, depending on the amount of your income. Question, my dad is 85 years old and has lots of medical issues. He doesn't live with me, but I pay all of his doctor bills and other out-of-pocket costs that Medicare doesn't cover. Can I deduct those medical expenses if I itemize on my tax return? Taxpayers who itemize on Schedule A can deduct qualifying medical expenses to the extent that the total amount exceeds 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. You can claim medical expenses that are not reimbursed by insurance for yourself, your spouse, and your dependents. If your dad qualifies as your dependent, then you can deduct his eligible medical expenses that you pay for, subject to the 7.5% of the adjusted gross income rule. To qualify as a medical expense deduction, the expense must be incurred primarily to alleviate or prevent a physical or mental disability or illness. The broad list of eligible expenses includes out-of-pocket payments for medical services rendered by doctors, dentists, optometrists, and other medical practitioners, mental health services, health insurance premiums, including Medicare Parts B and D, annual physicals, prescription drugs, and insulin, but not over-the-counter drugs, hearing aids, transportation to and from the doctor's office, the unreimbursed cost of long-term care, and many home improvements to accommodate a disability or illness. And the last question, I live in New Jersey, and my mom, who has dementia, lives in Brooklyn. She has Medicare and Medicaid. However, I help her out with her medical costs whenever I can and drive her to the doctor's office. Can I deduct the cost of taking my mom to all of her medical appointments? If your mom qualifies as your dependent and you itemize on your tax return, then you should be able to deduct as medical expenses the cost of transporting her to her appointments and various other medical costs that you pay. Remember, these expenses are deductible only to the extent that the total medical expenses exceed 7.5% of the adjusted gross income. You can use the IRS's standard mileage rates to determine and deduct driving expenses. For 2026, the rate is 20.5 cents per mile. You would be able to deduct the mileage from your mom's place to her doctor's appointments. Don't count the mileage from your home to your mom's home and vice versa. And as we finish up our episode today, here are some interesting tips that appeared in the AARP bulletin. Under the Money Saver section, an ounce of prevention. Avoid the cost of replacing your big-ticket possessions by following these simple tips for keeping them in good working order. Up first is your HVAC system. To cut wear and tear, most standard 1-inch filters should be replaced every 30 to 60 days, says Mike Rackers, owner of Clarkville Heating and Air Conditioning in Hanover, Maryland. It's the single most important thing to do to maintain your HVAC system, he says. Other systems, adds Rackers, may contain box-style filters that can last as long as 9 to 12 months. And your car, yes, follow the manufacturer's recommendations for preventive maintenance, advises Steve Lang, car dealer and founder of Mileage Impossible, a Facebook group devoted to cars with super high odometer readings. But also search online for your car's model name and enthusiast forum, he adds. You'll find thousands of people who have owned your vehicle and know its weaknesses and what to do before little problems become big. Well, we are now out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. We hope you've enjoyed listening, and we hope you'll join us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is supported by Coastal Credit Union Foundation. For more information on the Coastal Credit Union Foundation, you can find it. coastal24.com/foundation. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, give us a call, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.